We do give everyone a warm welcome to our services this morning, to those that are here in the church, to those that are joining with us online, and indeed to any visitors that may be among the congregation. We do give you a warm welcome in the Saviour's name. We give a special welcome to our preacher today at both services, Mr. Jonathan Storey. He's completing his studies for the ministry in the next number of months, but currently he is assisting the minister in the Macrofelt Free Presbyterian Church. That practical experience is obviously a benefit to him, and he was telling me as well that he's assisting one day a week in his own congregation up in Ballymoney. So he's kept busy, and not only that, he was telling me he's getting married in July. So you pray for him, and for his fiancée Lauren. She's having a procedure done in the hospital this morning, started yesterday, has to finish today, and do remember her in prayer as well. So we do give him a warm welcome. As I say, he's the preacher this morning. He'll be back in the evening service to bring the gospel, and do come the church pre-church prayer meeting, 6:20 to 6:45 in the youth room. Do come, plan to come early. Come to the prayer meeting and pray that the Lord will join and meet with us in the services. The soloist tonight will be our sister Naomi Wilson. So do plan to come and be with us here in the church this evening. And then after the service, round about 8:30, there's the after church for the youth meeting in the youth room. And that will take place 8:30. Or whatever length of time it takes others that are coming to attend. And the speaker again will be Mr. Jonathan Storey. We're keeping him busy today. And so do pray for him. All the youth are welcome to come and attend that meeting. We do appreciate your compliance as you do come in and out the building from week to week with the restrictions as you enter and exit and while in the building. And we do thank you for your cooperation. The offering baskets will be at the two doors here and out in the hall. As you do leave the services, we ask you to remember that and to give as the Lord has blessed you. Just a few quick announcements regarding the meetings during the week. Tomorrow morning, 10:30 to 11:30, the Little Sunbeams parent and toddlers group resumes after the Christmas break in the church hall. Then tomorrow evening, 6:45 to 8pm, the Awana group also will be resuming in the church hall. Tuesday night, 8 to 9, the Bible study and prayer meeting. And this week we'll be concentrating that season of prayer for our own families. And the Reverend Smiley will be back to minister the word and take control of that meeting. Next Lord's Day, Sunday the 16th, 10 a.m. Sunday school, 11:30 a.m. family worship, 7 p.m. the gospel service preceded by the pre-church prayer meeting. And at both services, our own minister, the Reverend Smiley, will be back to minister the word. The soloist at the evening service next Sunday night is Mr. Stephen Patterson. That's the Reverend Andrew Patterson's son. He was with us before. We enjoyed his ministry and song. So do remember those meetings next Lord's Day. And that's next Lord's Day as well. The Missionary Council offerings will be taken up at both services. Just one final thing. We ask you to remember all those with sickness, those who are going through treatments, those who are at home recovering. Our sister Mary would appreciate the prayers of God's people as she would hopefully in the will of God go for her final treatment. Her brother Mervyn's at home recovering well. Pray for him. Remember Hazel Park. She got home there towards the end of the week and she's back home again, but do remember her. Remember our brother Mervyn. Raymond Kerr finishing his treatment. Carl and Maureen. Our sister Isabel Gilmore, and then our brother David Ballum was taken into hospital suddenly on Friday night. So do remember David, remember Amanda at home, she's quite anxious. Do remember them in your prayers at this time as well. When I got the messages from Mr. Smiley, it just seems that one person comes off at one end of the list, those that have recovered and those that we've been praying for, and someone else comes on at the start of the list. And we don't know what lies ahead of us, what day today will bring to each one of us. We can sit in good health in the meeting this morning, but who knows what the end of the day may be. But we commit these ones to the Lord, and we do ask that you will remember them in your prayers at this time. That's all the announcements we have. We're glad to see you in the house of God this morning. We thank you for coming. We pray that the Lord will bless the word of God to our own hearts, and even now as we wait, that our own hearts will be prepared to receive that word. We're going to hand the rest of the meeting over to your brother, Mr. Jonathan Story. Brother, you're very welcome. We trust that you feel at home with us, and may the Lord give you help in the preaching of the word of God today. Thank you.
I want to thank our brother for those kind words of welcome, and I want to reiterate his words of welcome to you all. It's good to see each and every one of you in the house of God today. And we're just going to turn to our opening hymn, which should be on the screen behind you, behind me. The hymn 387, My Heart is Fixed, Eternal God, Fixed on Thee, Fixed on Thee. And we'll remain seated while we sing this hymn together. Thank you.
Thank you.
Perhaps we could stand together for a word of prayer. Let's come before our God this morning, seeking his help and seeking his blessing on this meeting. Let's all pray. Our God and our eternal Father in heaven, Lord, we humbly bow in your presence this day. We thank you for the journeying mercies you have given to us to be out at the Church of God this morning. Lord, we thank you that we can come and fellowship with those of like precious faith. And Lord, we can sing these hymns together, praising your holy and your most magnificent name. Lord, we can truly say today, Christ for us, he is our all in all. Lord, the scriptures call you the altogether lovely one. And Lord, that would be the anthem of our hearts this morning. Lord, we do pray that as we come to worship you, that we would have that love, that we would have that adoration in our hearts and in our souls for your entire being. Lord, I do pray that that would be the cry of each and every one of our hearts this morning. It's Christ for me. In all things, it's Christ for me. Lord, you are our salvation, and we thank you for that perfect salvation that you gave to us at Calvary. Lord, you are our righteousness. That perfect life that you lived has been now granted to us in the robes of your righteousness. Lord, I thank you that because of you, we can be justified before the Father in heaven. Lord, we can be declared as right in his sight. And Lord, one day, because of you, we will forevermore be in heaven. Lord, we thank you for all of these blessings. Lord, truly, our minds cannot take it in, Lord, and even our hearts and our lips cannot sing thee enough praise for what you have done for us. But Lord, I do pray this morning that as we come to worship, as we come to meditate upon your word and sing the hymns, Lord, and pray unto thee, Lord, I do pray that each and every one of our hearts would be stilled. I pray that each and every one of us would know a presence of God with us today. Lord, I pray that we would hear the speaking voice of God especially. Lord, challenge each and every one of us from your word. Lord, I pray that you would edify each and every one as well. And Lord, give us those rebukings where they need to be had. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would leave the church this morning with a sense that God has spoken to us, with a sense that God has dealt with our hearts, Lord, and that we would want to then go on with thee, to do more for thee, and to serve thee with not less than our all. Lord, I do pray that you'd be with those who are sick in the congregation at this time. Lord, I pray that you would put your healing hand upon them. Lord, we thank you for reports of progress that have been made in some cases. Lord, we give thee thanks for that. We give thee thanks for thy healing hand upon them. Lord, we do pray, be with those who are at home this day. Lord, they are perhaps missing out on the fellowship and being here in the Lord's house. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be their portion this day, that he would fellowship greatly unto them, and he would minister unto their souls as well. Lord, we even pray for the Reverend Smiley as he's in Mount Merion today. Lord, speak through him. Give utterance in the gospel, and Lord, give utterance in reading and preaching the word of God this day, right across our land. Lord, we pray that everything we do would honour, magnify, and glorify the precious name of Christ. Lord, we ask all of these things in his worthy and his precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I was asked by the Reverend Smiley if I would possibly do a children's address this morning. And we're just at this time we're going to do that. And I have something here that I'm sure every boy and girl would want to get their hands on. And to be honest, some of the adults might even want to get their hands on it too. It's a packet of Mentos. They're one of my favourite sweets to have in church. And you know what the best thing about them is? They're so quiet that you'd hardly even know that you're eating them as well, unless you're chewing down on them and munching and going... Mm-hmm. But that's besides the point. I have a packet of Mentos here, all right? And I have a question for the boys and girls. And if you know the answer, you put your hand up and you shout out the answer to me, all right? And I'll ask you for the answer. And I have one question for you. And I'll give them to you afterward. I don't want to start throwing sweets around the church. And I'd probably put someone's eye out. So, I have one question. Boys and girls, if you know the answer, you put your hands up, all right? How many senses do we have in our human body? How many senses do we have? Oh, that was a quick hand there, yeah? Five. Spot on. Now, you remember, and you remind me afterwards, whenever we're going to the door, you remind me to give you these, all right? Good fella, good. All right. So, we have five senses. Five senses. Sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell. And you know, boys and girls, the Bible has a lot to say about these five senses. First of all, it tells us about our sight. Isaiah chapter 50, or chapter 45 and verse 22, the Bible says there, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth." And the Bible tells us that there was a plague that went through the children of Israel, and the one thing that would save them was to look to the brazen serpent. And boys and girls, the Bible tells us today as well that we're all sinners, and that if we look to Jesus Christ and trust him by faith, he will save our souls. He will wash our sins away, and he will come into our heart. Therefore, the Bible has a lot to say about sight. All right, the next one is hearing. And the Bible speaks so much about how important it is to hear. The words in Isaiah 55 verse 3 says, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live." That's a prayer that the prophet Isaiah had. He wanted God to hear his cry. He wanted God to hear his prayer. And boys and girls, the Bible tells us that God hears our prayers. If we come to him in faith, he will hear us. And he will not only hear us, well, we must not only hear God, but we must also take heed to what God has said as well. So we've got hearing and we've got sight. The next one I want to think about is touch. Now, the Bible gives us a story about a woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And I wondered, any of the boys and girls, do you know what the hem of a garment is? We don't really talk about that these days. But the hem of a garment, if you imagine this suit jacket of mine, the hem of this suit jacket is just the bottom part of it, that wee bottom strip. And there was a woman that came to Jesus Christ, and she touched the hem of his garment. And she was sick for many years with a disease, but the minute she touched Jesus Christ, it healed her. And the outward touch of that garment was an evidence of her inward faith. And boys and girls, because she trusted that Jesus would heal her, he not only healed her from her physical disease, but he healed her from the sin that she had in her heart as well. So the Bible tells us about sight, about hearing, about touch. It also tells us about taste as well. The Bible tells us, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." Those are wonderful, wonderful words in the psalm. They tell us that Jesus Christ is sweet to the taste. Now, that doesn't mean that we actually eat anything, or it doesn't mean that we actually taste something physically, but it means that when we come to Jesus Christ, when we know him as our Saviour, he is sweet to the taste, and he is a wonderful Saviour to have. And lastly, smell. The Bible tells us that the offering of Jesus Christ on the cross, it went up as a sweet savour unto God, a sweet smelling savour unto God. Now that is a very complicated thing, and to be honest, it would take a lot of time to explain it in a lot of detail. But what it really means is that Jesus Christ in his sacrifice, God was pleased whenever Jesus offered himself on the cross. God was pleased, and because of that, he can now accept us into his family. He can now accept us into the family of God because Jesus Christ shed his blood for us. So next time you think of your five senses, you think of your sight and how we can see that God is good. You think of your hearing, how we are to listen for God and how he hears our prayers. You think of your taste and how the Lord is so sweet to those that know him. You think of your touch and how you can be healed if you will come to Christ. And you think of your smell as well and how God was pleased when Christ died for our sins. All right, so you remember each of those, boys and girls. And as I say, don't forget me to give you them sweets afterward, all right? Good. All right, we're going to come to our next hymn of praise this morning. It's the hymn 352. The hymn 352. "There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low." And again, we'll remain seated while we sing this hymn together. Thank you. a copy of God's Word, let us turn to Luke chapter 24 this morning. Luke chapter 24, and we're going to commence our reading at the verse number 13. Luke 24, and it recounts to us the tale of the two on the road to Emmaus. After Christ had been crucified, after all these things were done, these two were walking and talking on that road. And Luke 24, verse 13, we'll begin our reading there. Luke 24, verse 13, and there the Bible says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they walked together of all these things which had happened, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 27. And we pray that we will be challenged. We pray that we will be uplifted by God's word this morning. Perhaps we could just sing one more hymn before we come to the preaching of God's word. And it is the hymn 353. The hymn 535. "Rejoice in the Lord, O let his mercy cheer." And again, we'll remain seated while we sing this hymn together. Thank you.
Thank you.
Perhaps we could just turn back again to Luke chapter 24. I just want to read one verse with you. I want to use that really as a platform this morning to speak. Luke 24 and verse 17. Luke 24 and the verse 17 says there, "He," that is Jesus, "said unto them, What manner of communications are these, that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" Perhaps we could stand for a word of prayer, just to change your positions once more. Let's ask for God's help in the understanding of his word, and you even pray that God will speak to your own heart this morning. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for your inspired word. We thank you for the truth found within the pages of Scripture. We thank you for these Gospels that recount to us the life of our dear and precious Saviour. Lord, we thank you that today we serve a risen Saviour, that this account tells us of Christ when he arose and when he was visiting those who were faithful to him. Lord, I do pray, stir our hearts this morning. Speak to each and every one of us and give us a word from yourself. Lord, help us to understand your word. Give us the Holy Ghost to understand it, Lord. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would apply your word as well. Lord, we would leave this house determined, Lord, to do more for thee. Lord, determined to go on with thee in a greater way. Lord, determined to speak well of our Saviour. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would know the help of God the Holy Spirit, and that we would see Christ this morning. I ask these things in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I wonder, have you ever been in a conversation and you're in a conversation with someone and you just keep thinking in your own mind, the one thing keeps coming over in your mind, I just cannot wait to get away from this conversation. All they talk about is how doom and gloom every situation is in their life. Their outlook on life is bleak and they would rather, you'd rather not be in a conversation like that. You're just looking forward to getting away from the conversation like that. Once you leave that conversation, you come away and you feel dejected. You feel miserable. The conversation has had such a negative impact on your life. And perhaps, and I would pray it's not the case, but I can say in my own life it's been the case. Perhaps you're on the other side of the coin. And perhaps you are the one that is in the conversation and you're the one that is speaking. You're the one that is speaking of doom and gloom. You're the one who has such a perhaps pessimistic outlook on life. Nothing in the world is right. Everything is going wrong at this time. And to be honest, there's no hope left in this world. And I'm sure we have all been in a situation like this, either on one side of it or on the flip side of it. And being the bearer of bad news, or you yourself always bearing the bad news to others. Personally, I had to examine my life at the end of the year 2021. Because obviously we had a very strange year, a very different year than most. And I examined my life, and I can say sadly at times I was the one who was in conversation. I was the one who was bringing all the negatives up, saying about how sad this world is that we live in, how sin is abounding on every hand. And these things are all true, but yet they should never take away from our enjoyment in the Lord. We should never lose out on our joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord, the Bible tells us, it is our strength. And I pray this morning that in our lives that we would not be Christians like perhaps we see here in Luke chapter 24. We see these two men walking on the road to Emmaus. They're walking along and Christ comes along to them and he asks this question, this very pertinent question in verse number 17. He says, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another? As ye walk and are sad." As Jesus drew near to him, and those are beautiful words that we read in verse number 15, Jesus himself drew near unto them. He came beside them and he started to talk to them. And as he heard their conversation, it was tainted with sadness, it was tainted with grief and despair at the loss of their Messiah. And John Gill, he said, "Christ, by their countenance and gestures, and their shaking of heads, and their lifting of hands and wringing of their hands, he could tell and easily discern that they were full of sorrow and they were full of heaviness of heart." And therefore, I want us to think this morning for a brief moment on the differences between those Christians that are perhaps pessimistic in their outlook and those Christians who are optimistic in their outlook. And the title we want to take this morning is Speak Worry or Speak Well. And that is what we want to consider. First of all, I want us to consider the pessimistic conversation and its effects. Because here we come to verse number 18. And Cleopas, it says here, the name is given to us of one of those disciples on the road to Emmaus. It says here that he says to Christ, "Are you a stranger in these lands? Where have you been for the past week?" This past week, all the events that have been leading up to the crucifixion of Christ, that is all that anyone could talk about this day. And have you not heard of Jesus of Nazareth? Have you not heard of that mighty prophet which came to us? But now he's dead. Cleopas, in verses 18 through to 20, he gives a brief account, really, of what had happened in the week previous. He gives that brief account. Jesus, who had been a great prophet, done mighty miracles in the land, who had preached many wonderful and great doctrines to the people, yet the religious rulers delivered him to be crucified. And he goes on then to explain why it is that they were disheartened. Verse number 21, he says there, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." In a sense here, Cleopas is suffering from a shake in his faith. We trusted that this was the Messiah. And now, who knows? Is he really, is he truly the Messiah? Had they trusted in vain? And can that not be the case in our own Christian lives? When we read through the Bible, we know of the verses throughout the Bible that have been a blessing to those in the past. We know those Bible verses that people point us to whenever perhaps we're feeling despair, whenever perhaps we're feeling grief, perhaps we're feeling guilt and sorrow. And all too many times, the words of Christ can be written over our lives, as he says in verse number 25. He says, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." How slow we can be to really believe what the Bible reveals to us. I must confess that I am as guilty as this, as anyone. We know that God is good, yet how many times do we doubt his goodness in our lives? We know that God is sufficient for all of our needs, yet how all too often do we rely perhaps on our own sufficiency, what we can do to get ourselves out of the situation we're in? We know that God works all things together for good to them that love him. And yet all too often we do not trust that his way truly is perfect. This is the danger of pessimistic conversation in the Christian life. This is the danger of always seeing the negative aspects of life and being perhaps always the bearer of bad news. It can lead us to forget the goodness of God to us. It can lead us to forget the mercy of God to us. And it can lead us to forget the grace that God has given to us in our lives. And we never want that to be the case in our lives. We never want to forget how good God has been. We never want to forget those merciful times in our lives when God has dealt with us, when God has come and drew, just as he did here in Luke 24, and has drawn close beside us. The Bible has a lot to say about our conversation and the importance of guiding or guarding our conversation. Ephesians 4 verse 29, the Bible tells us there, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." It is unbecoming of Christians to speak in such a manner that only ever has negative connotations. Never has anything positive. Never has anything edifying for those saints of God who are around us. We read the well-known saying of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. He says there that evil communications corrupt good manners. And therefore, let us each and every one be vigilant in our conversations to guard those conversations. Perhaps they have no joy, perhaps they have no hope in them. Let us not have conversations that are all doom and gloom, that focus all on the negative, that focus all on the bad aspects in this life. Because for us as Christians, those whom Christ has purchased with his blood, we have every reason to rejoice in the Lord, to be joyful in the God of our salvation. And we could think back to the book of Numbers. In Numbers 13 and 14, we read of the report that the children of, or that those 12 spies, brought back to the people. At the end of verse number 13, we read of the report that the majority of those spies brought back, the problems that they could see with taking the land of Canaan. Numbers 13, verse 28, it tells us there they started to list off all the problems. They started to say, the people there are strong. The cities that they have there, they have walls that are so high and so thick, we could never penetrate through them. The Bible tells us that their report was evil. And this is not the kind of conversation that we as Christians want to be involved in. We see in Numbers 14 that this report even led the children of Israel to be in despair themselves. In the start of Numbers chapter 14, it tells us there that they wish to appoint a new captain to bring them back to Egypt, to bring them back to bondage, to bring them back to the land where they had only had hardship and trials in this life. And it all stemmed from that evil report that these spies brought back. But yet, what did Caleb say? He said that our God is able to deliver us. Our God is able to do so much more than this. He can give us the land. He has promised he will give us the inheritance of Canaan, and therefore his promise is sure. And therefore I pray that this sort of conversation would never be becoming of our conversation. We know that James describes the tongue as that little member which can cause so much damage. James 3 and verse 5. He says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. We think even back to the early church times, a time when Rome was burned to the ground. Where did it all start? It started in Nero's palace when he flipped over perhaps a golem that had fire on it, caught fire to the curtains, caught fire then to the rest of Rome. Rome was burning. What did he do? He blamed it on the Christians. But how great a matter a little fire can kindle. And therefore, dear children of God this morning, let each and every one of us, and I include myself in it this morning, let us all be vigilant to guard our conversations, that they do not discourage those around us, that they do not cause despair in the lives of Christians around us. So we've seen the pessimistic conversation and the effects that that can have. But now let us consider the optimistic conversation and its effects. Because we've considered how unprofitable pessimistic conversation can be. And therefore, let us think of how we can edify the saints. How we, in our conversations, can lead each other on in the fear and love of God. Because we see here in Luke 24, we come on down to the near the end of the chapter. And in verse number 26 and 27, we can see that the two in the road to Emmaus, their hearts were uplifted and their spirits were uplifted when the Saviour gave them fresh perspective. What does he say in verse 26? He says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What did Christ do? He brought their conversation to speak of himself. Now, while we know that in conversation there should always be a back and forward. In conversation, if I was talking to you or you were talking to each other, usually what happens is there's back and forward. You ask about their life, they ask about your life. You ask about how their work's going, they ask about how your work's going. It's an exchange. And I wonder, have you ever been and you've experienced, and I'm sure each and every one of you have, where there's been a conversation and it's just the one person talking about their own life, talking about their own trials, talking about their own difficulties, talking about themselves. And you just, at the end of it, you just get fed up with the conversation. But here, what it must have been for these two walking in the road to Emmaus, Christ was speaking of himself, and if ever one who spoke of himself would have brought such great comfort and such great joy to the believer, it was Christ speaking of himself. And what it must have been for these two men to listen to Christ go through the Old Testament and explain himself in those passages. John Phillips, he said, what a Bible survey lesson that must have been. There was Abel's lamb, Noah's ark, the stories of Joseph, Moses, and of David. There were the sacrifices and the feasts, page after page of prophecy focusing on a Christ who was coming to redeem and reign. And Christ, he brought the scriptures to these people on the road to Emmaus. And what he did was he brought them to life. And in reading the Old Testament, brethren and sisters, let each and every one of us always see Christ and where he is found in the pages of the Old Testament, because it is then that the Bible really truly comes alive for us. So wonderful was the conversation that Christ was engaged in with these men that they testified in verse number 32, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened the scriptures? What a wonderful experience it was for these two men to have listened to Christ expound the scriptures to them. And Christ is to be our greatest example in all of our life. And therefore, Paul, he said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And the Greek word there for followers can also be translated as imitators. Therefore, Paul is calling each and every one of us to be imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we speak regularly on how we are to imitate Christ in his sacrificial love, in his merciful spirit, and in his hate for sin. But yet we are also to imitate Christ in his conversation, because the conversation that he brought to the people that day was one of edification. It was one of uplifting his brethren. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, it tells us there that they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before them for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. So what do we know about spiritual conversations? What do we know about having those conversations in our lives where we speak about Christ, where we speak well for him? We are commanded to read our Bibles, we are commanded to pray and to have fellowship with our God in heaven. But for the people of God, we have such a privilege to speak one to another about the things of God, to commune one with another, to edify each other in the things of God. I can testify personally in my own life to times when conversations have been directed round to spiritual things and the blessing of God that I've felt in my soul. Truly, nothing can compare. We are to increase our love and desire and our knowledge for God. How do we do that? We do that by speaking one to another, by edifying each other in spiritual conversation. We are commanded in Hebrews 10:24 to consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. We are commanded in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 to comfort yourselves together and edify one another. That is done through spiritual conversation, by having those optimistic spiritual conversations and not having those conversations which are tarnished with a spirit of defeatism. And so I wonder, do we have those kinds of conversations? Have you ever experienced a conversation where you could testify like these two on the road to Emmaus, where you could say, while we were speaking, my heart burned within me? As we talked about the scriptures, as we talked about our God and how wonderful he is, as we talked about our Saviour and that great dying love that he had for us, my heart burned within me. I know at times we can be reluctant to have spiritual conversations, and I know in my own life, my own experience, which to be honest is very limited, I am not very old, but at the same time, in my own experience I have found that the reason that usually hindered me most in spiritual conversation was a lack of knowledge and a fear of saying something that would be wrong. Scared of saying the wrong thing, or scared of looking foolish. And to be honest, I've had a motto in my life that I've tried to live by in the past number of years, and albeit I've lived by it unsuccessfully, and it is, you're better to keep your mouth closed and have people think you're a fool than open your mouth and prove them right. And to be honest, that can be written over my life, because there's too many times that we can speak things And we can say things in haste, like the Apostle Peter, when he spoke there to Christ, "Christ, you will not have to suffer these things. You will not have to go through these sufferings." What did Christ say back to him? He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." All too often we can be too rash in our conversation. But yet, if we're speaking on spiritual things, we should never have this in our minds. That should put us off speaking of our Saviour. In Philippians 1:27, we read that, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And that is to be the desire of the church. We are one body, united under one Lord. And that our conversation, and that word here not only means our words, but also our actions, so that our conversation would be those that edify the saints, that lift up one another, that build each other up in our most holy faith, and ultimately that these conversations and these spiritual conversations we have would ultimately bring glory to our God. And however, we must confess, and we must be honest before the Lord, that when we have had these spiritual conversations at times, the pitfall that we can fall into so easily is that when we speak of spiritual matters or the work of the Lord and how things are progressing in the church, we can be brought to despondency because we only ever see the negative aspects of God's work. And how hard things are for Christians at the minute. How few we hear that are getting saved. How little care there is in this world for the gospel. How great sin is abounding. When we have spiritual conversations, these things naturally come into the conversation. And at times they can cause us to be despondent. At times they can cause us to despair. Especially over the past 2 years. Where we have had to deal with the pandemic and how at times we see so little fruit for the Lord, so little ground won for the Lord. But yet, the Lord's hand is still upon us. He is, as the Bible tells us, still building his church. It's a promise of God that he would build his church. That promise did not stop because of a pandemic. It did not stop because even of our lack of faithfulness. Christ is still building his church. We have more means now through sharing the gospel by the means of Facebook, sermon audio, YouTube, whatever it is. We have so many means of sharing the gospel now. And therefore we are reaching people now who perhaps would never have darkened a church door. And so let us have those optimistic spirits that the gospel is going forth. And God has promised that his word will not return to him void. We can take comfort and encouragement in the words of Christ. Believer, listen to these words this morning. May they comfort your soul. John 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation." That's not if or but. We will have tribulations in this life. But what does Christ go on to say? "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And that Saviour who has overcome the world lives in our hearts today. He works with us. He works in us. And he works through us to the glory of God. Christ has overcome the world, and child of God, Christ lives in you today. We sing that hymn, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, he talks with me along life's narrow way. And there's another hymn that speaks of Christ living in us. And in the fourth verse it says, "With longing all my heart is filled to be like him, that like him I may be, as on this wondrous thought I dwell, that Christ liveth in me." In Proverbs, our tongue is likened to a tree, and how a tree can bring forth good fruit, and it can also bring forth bad fruit. Let our conversations be like those described in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." Would we not want that said of our conversations? Coming away from someone, speaking well of Christ, coming away, and the thing that they could say about that conversation was, "It was like apples of gold in pictures of silver." What a beautiful way to describe the conversation of those who are in faith in Christ. Let us not be despondent in our conversation. Let us not be pessimistic in our outlook for the Lord's work, because greater is he that liveth in us than he that is in the world. Let us strive to follow the example of Christ here in Luke 24, where he drew near and he expounded all of the things in the scriptures concerning himself. He encouraged the believers. Let us therefore encourage those who are around us. Let us lift each other up. Let us edify each other in our spiritual conversations. And as John Owen said, and with this we conclude, John Owen once said, "Let the rest of our few and evil days be spent living for him who died for us." Let that be the prayer of our hearts this morning. Let's come to God in prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage that tells us of those two on the road to Emmaus. Lord, we thank you for the words of Christ, where he began to expound all the things concerning himself. Lord, I pray that that question would not be written over our lives. What is it that you have all of these conversations, you have all of these troubles, and you're so sad? Lord, I pray that our conversation would not be unfit for thee, Lord. I pray that we would not even waste our words, but Lord, that we would lift each other up, that we would build each other up in our most holy faith. And Lord, even seeing the sin that lies at the door, and Lord, seeing the sin that is in our land, that is right across the world, Lord, may that not cause us to lose hope, because our hope is in the Lord. You are the one who is sovereign over the affairs of men. Lord, yes, while we see the wiles of the devil, we know that he is a defeated enemy. We know that Christ has already overcome. He has won us the victory. And truly, Lord, we can say that we are on the winning side. And therefore, Lord, let not our hearts be discouraged today. But may we take encouragement in the word of God. May we take encouragement in your words, Lord, to our souls. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Lord, we thank you that because you have overcome the world, you have made us more than conquerors through him that loved us. Lord, we praise you for what a saviour you are. And therefore, to that end, Lord, we would ask, guard our conversations. Help each and every one of us to guard our tongues, to ensure that everything that we would say would be to speak well of our saviour, would be to lift up one another in the faith of Christ Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would be with us now. Take us to your homes in safety. Lord, bless us this afternoon. May our conversations around the dinner table be sweet. And Lord, may they bring honour and glory to your precious name. We ask that you would bring us out again to the evening service so that we might hear the gospel. And Lord, we pray that you would even bless the youth service later on in this evening. Lord, we ask, take us now to our homes in safety and watch over us. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.